Gospel according to Luke, we are in the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Would any of you say to your servant, who had just come in from the field after plowing or tending sheep, 'Come, sit down for dinner'? Wouldn't you say instead, 'Fix my dinner, put on the clothes of a table servant, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you can eat and drink. You won't thank the servant because the servant did what you asked, will you? In the same way, when you have done everything required of you, you should say, 'We servants deserve no special praise. We have only done our duty.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So in my life, before I was a pastor, I worked for a landscape firm when we were out in Denver, Colorado. And being part of a landscape firm, part of what I did was I got to be on a crew that, as you would be not surprised, installed landscapes. So people would tear out plants and put in new plants, and that's what our crew did. The way this worked was that we would have our job for the day, our contract that we were going to act out and then fulfill. And it was always built by Kevin. Kevin was the owner of the company, so he did all the estimates and all the contracts. And we would drive out, and we would get all the trees and the shrubs and the flowers and all, whatever you need, put them on the truck, and we would go out to the site. Kevin would meet us out there in the morning, walk us through his design to make sure that we understood what he meant, as with everything that he laid out, understood all the plants and all of that. And then he would take off, because, of course, he's got to get more estimates and more contracts to keep the business going. So then we as a crew, we tear out all the old plants, and we had this one particular site where they had this lovely wraparound porch, and they had some old scraggly-looking junipers and things like that, and we were going to pull all that out and put in some beautiful stuff. So we pulled out all of that, and then we pulled all the plants off the back of the truck, and we wheeled them into their spots, and we prepped the soil and did what you're supposed to do, and then we laid them all out because you don't want to stick it in the ground before you're absolutely sure that it's in the right spot. And we've got the design right there, and we're mapping everything out. It all looks good, all right, so we start sticking it in the ground. And every contract that we had a time slot, like estimated amount of time. And we were way ahead of schedule. We were making Kevin money, and anytime you can make the boss money, the boss gets happy. So we thought, we're doing really good. Mid-afternoon, we're almost done. We're in great shape. Kevin comes through because, you know, he's always checking on his crews throughout the day. Kevin comes by, parks in the driveway, hops out of his truck, and is practically running across the yard. He's done that before, so no big surprise. He comes over. We have the design under some rocks so that we can always be checking it. He grabs the design out from the rocks, comes over to us, points at the tree that we happen to be standing next to, and he tells us that this tree right here belongs over there. And we misread the design by, like, feet, many feet. So I will tell you, as a landscaper in that moment, and also Amy and I were members at that point at St. Paul Lutheran Church on Grant Street down in Denver, Colorado. So we were involved in the church, and we were going to worship, and we understood faith and God working in our lives. I will tell you that in that moment, I tried what Jesus said. I gave it a shot. I thought I had enough faith that if I could just stare at that tree, I wouldn't have to waste the next 3 hours moving it from that spot over to there. Because it's one thing to take a tree off the back of a truck and plant it in the ground. It's another thing to dig it out of the ground, dig another hole, move it over there, and now move all the sod and everything over here and make it look like you didn't make a huge mistake. It turns out what Jesus says is wrong. It doesn't work. And I did try. For like a minute, I stared at it in the back of my mind. I don't think anybody in the crew know, but I stared at that tree because, man, if we could move that, we would be in so much less trouble. But it doesn't work. And we know that. Jesus exaggerates. Often, he exaggerates. He uses hyperbole. He uses these broad, expansive stories and statements to help us to broaden our minds and our hearts about what God can do in this world. And sometimes, what Jesus calls on us to do is something that only God can do first. In our reading for today, the disciples open up our reading at verse 5 by saying, "Increase our faith," as if faith is like a truck of grain and all we need is a little bit more. It's distributed and collected by like a commodity. Now what we miss, because we started verse 5, when we come to worship, Our scripture always has to start somewhere and it always has to end somewhere. So we're at verse 5. What we miss is verses 1 through 4, where Jesus in chapter 17 is talking to the disciples. And he's talking about how you and I interact with each other and how we interact with the world. Specifically, he's talking about sin and forgiveness. More specifically than that, he tells the disciples, which means he's telling us, that if we withhold forgiveness and someone were to sin and trip and fall, and that's the language that Jesus uses in those verses, if someone who we encounter trips and falls because of sin, and it's because we withheld forgiveness from their life, it's on us. Jesus is telling us that we are responsible for forgiving others, which means it's not a privilege. It means it's not an opportunity. It's not even a choice. Forgiveness is not one of the lovely words that we bounce around this space as good God-fearing folk, like all the other wonderful words that we bounce around. Forgiveness is divine power. Forgiveness heals. Some of us might think of some of those healing stories that we read about in the Gospels where Jesus encounters someone or is encountered by someone, like let's say the man on the mat who had four friends carry him and even lower him through the roof down in front of Jesus, and this man was paralyzed, could not move himself, but what does Jesus tell him to do? Pick up your mat and go. Later on, he tells him, your faith has healed you, because forgiveness brings us back to God. Forgiveness rights our relationship with God, and it rights our relationship with our neighbors. And beyond the individual one-on-one level that we may be inherently thinking of with forgiveness, forgiveness also rebuilds entire communities. When the sin-sick, suffering ones are allowed back into the city square, those who have been banished to the other side of the tracks or banished to the other side of town, when they are welcomed into the full center, then the whole society is renewed. The brokenness that that individual or that family or that entire culture was embedded in is lifted and banished with one word. Which also means, because forgiveness has power and forgiveness comes from God, it also means that forgiveness is complicated. Forgiveness is not a word that we can simply just banter about to alleviate our own guilt and our own despondency and hope that by simply saying the word then we can feel better ourselves. Forgiveness is not simply rendered out so that we can forget about what happened in the past and sweep it under the rug, whether we're talking about the brokenness between us and another or we're talking about systemic evil. Forgiveness is God's power. Forgiveness is being breathed into creation to deny all those powers that strip and steal life from us. Dignity, respect, forgiveness is reconciliation between warring nations when the weapons are lowered. Forgiveness is rehabilitation between groups when there's oppression and division. Forgiveness is healing. It is justice. It is a sign of God's kingdom, bringing life where there was only death, which is why you and I in this house talk about the cross. With all that swirling in the back of our minds, it is no wonder that we, like the disciples, are going to panic a bit when Jesus calls on us to forgive. It is a terrifying thought to realize that we might be responsible for the wholeness of life of another human being, that we might be responsible for the suffering of others that endure it. We might be responsible for an entire culture. Compared to that, I would just as soon stand in the yard and squint at a tree all day, hoping I can move it 5 inches. Increase our faith, the disciples cry out. Because we're telling Jesus we can't do this. We don't have enough of whatever it is that we need to pull this off. We are bound to our sin and to our stereotypes, Jesus. And we've got our assumptions and we've got our hurts, Jesus. And beyond that, we've got our lives to live. If you want us to be restorers of the breach, Jesus, if you want us to be bearers of your kingdom, Jesus, we're going to need a little bit more than a sprinkle of water and a wafer and a dip of wine. And Jesus hears us cry out and gives us this otherwise ridiculous statement about moving a tree and casting it into the sea. He keeps going. He keeps talking to us, and now he starts talking about grace. And he gives us an example from everyday life that, quite frankly, we probably need a couple of breaths to catch. After he makes the tree statement, he makes a turn And he starts describing us as landowners. Because in Jesus' time, anyway, only the landowners were the ones who would have had the financial means to have a servant. And actually, in your Bible translation at home, it might be translated slave. Because a servant had no say in their life. If this makes us a little uncomfortable, that we might be landowners, and that Jesus might be giving in this example that we have a slave, Jesus has a tendency to do that, but he does it for a reason. He's asking us to imagine that we're landowners and we've got a servant, and in this hypothetical, we now have all the power. And maybe that seems natural, even if a little uncomfortable. And so Jesus says that we as a landowner, we can tell the servant whatever they need to do and they will do it. And they cannot ask for anything in return, not even respect or gratitude. They're expected to be a grateful servant. Because we're already giving them shelter, food, water, clothing, whatever they need, they should be happy. Along with that, if they were to ask for anything like gratitude or thanksgiving, and we were to give it, well, the problem with that is now we are seeing each other on an equal footing. Now we're starting to see each other as humans, standing fully in God's creation together, opposed to the roles that we are holding as landowners and servants. This world, this description makes sense to the disciples. Maybe it makes sense to us when we convince ourselves that each one of us has our designated role in the society and we cannot leave our place. Because if we were to do that, then we're going to mess the whole thing up. And now you're probably wondering, well, what does forgiveness and faith have to do with the way that we walk in the world? Well, actually, it has everything, because forgiveness messes everything up. The way Jesus uses this logical example, and right at verse 10, turns it 180 degrees. And suddenly we go from being landowners to now we're the servants. Because that's what forgiveness does. It humanizes others. It decenters us from the conversation. It reverses the roles of everything and everyone. With forgiveness, all the chasms between us, they all fill in. All the walls and the borders, they all fall to the ground. All those assumptions that we carry and our neighbors carry and our culture carries, all those assumptions about, well, all of them. Race, class, culture, gender, economic ability, academic achievement, skills, training, all of it becomes irrelevant. With forgiveness, there is no us and them. There's not me versus you. There is no deserving. There is no stereotyping. There is no they had it coming. Because if we have the power to bear the kingdom of God and we have the power to bear the life of a neighbor or a stranger, and we allow any one of our siblings to fall into the trap of sin, and it doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, or their station in life, Jesus reminds us they are our responsibility. And we can do this. We can offer this forgiveness. We can bear the lives of our neighbors because Jesus bears our life. He's already done this. He's carried all of our burdens. And we know all the sins that we carry. He takes all of it to Calvary. He's borne our brokenness, our despair, our destructive habits, all those thoughts that we carry in our heads. He's destroyed all of it and cast it into the grave. Jesus has claimed responsibility for us, for our shattered world, and he brings new life through his resurrected life, which pulls us out of death into God's glory. Jesus does this. He plucks us up like a tree, and he casts us into the baptismal waters that set us free. We are now bound to his life. Our sin has no reach. Jesus restores us. Jesus forgives us every day. Jesus places us back in the community where we can breathe and live and remember our forgiveness every single time we meet our neighbor. And like the servant, in Christ's living example of living out the service of God, we don't need to ask for anything else. We have forgiveness. It's in our flesh. We have the words of the Holy Spirit to speak. We have the vision of God to see our neighbors, our people, our enemies in the same divine light that God sees every single one of us every day. We turn on our tablets. We turn on our TVs. We flip up the radio in our car. We witness the injustices of our society, the divisions between humanity, and we want to cry out to God. We want God to respond. We want God to show up. We want God to work in this world, to bring about healing in this brokenness and corruption. And Jesus responds with the cross. and from the empty tomb when he greets us in the garden. Then he turns to us and he tells us we don't need anything else. We have life in abundance. We have forgiveness and redemption. It transforms life because we who are full of life and full of light, we are who our neighbors need. We are the people of God, empowered by God, forgiven by God, sent from God to give away God's love and reflect God's promise of equality and dignity for every person, culture, every person of God, you and me. We have been set free through forgiveness. We are set free to set our neighbors free through forgiveness. We have this power. We bear up our neighbors as we lift up the light of Christ. Amen. Amen.